With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Despite her notoriety and the outrage from both right and left over her philosophy, novelist Ayn Rand remained an enigmatic figure until her death in 1982. Barbara Brandon was an intimate and disciple of Ayn Rand for nearly 20 years until their relationship ended in anger and bitterness. Brandon writes about that in an accomplished biography, The Passion of Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand was born in St. Petersburg, Russia in 1905. It was not generally known that she was Jewish. Barbara Brandon.
She never kept it a secret, but she was an atheist, so that religion, her religion, anybody's religion, was of no significance to her. If asked if it was relevant, she would say, "I was born Jewish."
Ayn Rand's family suffered hunger, terror, and poverty at the hands of the communists after the revolution. While attending college, Ayn Rand met a young man of striking appearance.
She fell madly in love with him, almost at first sight, as she was to later do in America with the man she married and lived with for 50 years.
Frank O'Connor, the young man in the Soviet Union, did not return her love, and further embittered by the Soviet regime, Ayn Rand, at the age of 21, went to live with relatives in Chicago. She disliked intensely her real name, Alice Rosenbaum, and adopted as her new first name, Ayn, the name of a Finnish writer she had never read. But what about a last name?
Ayn was sitting in front of her typewriter, which was a Remington Rand, and thinking aloud, saying, "Ayn Remington? No. Ayn Rand, that's it."
Armed with her new name, Ayn Rand went on to Hollywood to become a junior screenwriter for Cecil B. DeMille, and where she wrote her first novel, We the Living. But turbulent years were to follow for the author of The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. Barbara Brandon tells us about them in her biography, The Passion of Ayn Rand, now an Anchor Doubleday paperback. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. In the late 1920s, novelist-to-be Ayn Rand left her native Russia and landed in Hollywood. Movie director Cecil B. DeMille took her under his wing and gave her a job as an extra on the set of The King of Kings. Barbara Brandon, in her biography The Passion of Ayn Rand, says Ayn met her future husband on that set, a would-be movie actor named Frank O'Connor.
He was not a hero out of Ayn Rand's fiction. He was not ambitious to the same extent nearly that her heroes were. He was not about to set the world on fire. I believe, truly loved him, but could not accept that he was not a hero out of her novels.
Frank O'Connor never succeeded in a career, and in later years turned increasingly to drink, virtually becoming Mr. Ayn Rand.
She was a very powerful and very dominating woman. He did not have the strength to withstand her.
Ayn Rand's first book, We the Living, a semi-autobiographical story of a young woman trying to survive after the Russian Revolution, was published in 1936 and was, at the time, a publishing disaster. The book was followed by a play, The Night of January 16th, in which a jury was selected from the audience to hear a murder trial. The play was a Broadway hit, even though the producer demanded major changes.
To her horror and outrage, he decided a good deal of rewriting had to be done, that she had to put in things which everything in her revolted against. The play was successful on Broadway and has been running in summer stock ever since, literally to this day.
The play gave Ayn Rand the means to begin writing The Fountainhead, which became a towering bestseller. Ayn Rand's story is told by Barbara Brandon in The Passion of Ayn Rand, now an Anchor Doubleday paperback. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Novelist Ayn Rand was fascinated with the battle between collectivism and individualism, a theme she explored in her 1943 novel, The Fountainhead.
She wanted to show two absolutely opposite types of man and to show which one is successful, which one fails, which one is moral, which one is not.
That's Barbara Brandon, whose biography of her longtime friend and associate is called The Passion of Ayn Rand. A young editor at Bob's Merrill put his job on the line when he bought The Fountainhead. Brandon says the reviews were bad and sales were slow at first, but word of mouth propelled the novel into a bestseller. Ayn Rand left New York for Hollywood to work on the screenplay and was delighted when Gary Cooper was tapped to play the lead. But Brandon says Ayn Rand had to fight for every line of dialogue.
There were so many people involved, so many people who had a say. There was not a second during the filming of that movie that she wasn't engaged in battle to save her original screenplay.
In The Fountainhead, the hero, architect Howard Rourke, blows up the housing project he has created rather than to allow his creation to be altered by the whims of others.
The story is told that she threatened to blow up Warner Brothers if they changed it.
She may have done so.
Barbara Brandon, a student at UCLA, will never forget that evening in 1950 in California when she first met Ayn Rand.
It was an evening of pure magic. To encounter that intelligence and that charm, I couldn't believe it.
Ayn Rand returned to New York, a city that personified her dreams of man's potential and where she completed work on her novel Atlas Shrugged. Barbara Brandon and her husband-to-be Nathaniel became Ayn Rand's chief disciples until a scandalous break in their relationship. It's told in The Passion of Ayn Rand by Barbara Brandon, now an Anchor Doubleday paperback. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Ayn Rand returned to New York from Hollywood to complete her massive book, Atlas Shrugged, which was published to hostile reviews in 1957. But Barbara Brandon, author of a biography called The Passion of Ayn Rand, says the people who admired The Fountainhead rushed out to buy it anyway.
They didn't care about the content of the reviews. They simply cared that there was a new book by Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand's philosophy is laid out forcibly in Atlas Shrugged, which tells what happens when the most productive minds in the world refuse to be bound by altruism and go on strike.
Reason to her was the great issue in the world. Reason versus faith. That was the issue she believed was at the root of the political social controversies that were tearing the world apart.
Barbara Brandon's former husband, Nathaniel Brandon, known to his friends as Nathan, launched a nationwide series of lectures to explain the philosophy of Ayn Rand, dubbed objectivism. There were holes in the philosophy, but increasingly, Ayn Rand refused to accept criticism of it.
But as the years went by, she more and more seemed to require that unanimous agreement among the people around her who were predominantly much younger than she.
Then, the stunning kicker, unknown to students of Ayn Rand's philosophy.
Ayn fell in love with Nathan and wanted to have a love affair with him. As Nathaniel felt at the time, believed at the time, he was in love with her and also wanted to have a love affair.
That affair occurred while Nathaniel was still married to Barbara Brandon, who incredibly gave her consent. The arrangement led to a personal and professional disaster for all involved. It's recounted in The Passion of Ayn Rand by Barbara Brandon, now an Anchor Doubleday paperback. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. The novelist Ayn Rand adopted a philosophy that maintained man could be perfect. What her followers didn't know was that Ayn Rand was a flawed human being who had a long-running love affair with her chief disciple, Nathaniel Brandon, a man many years younger. That love affair had the consent of Ayn's husband, Frank, and Nathaniel's wife, Barbara.
As I look back on it now, I think it would have been infinitely kinder had Frank and I been lied to.
That's Barbara Brandon, who writes about the soap opera-like development in her book, The Passion of Ayn Rand.
It was terribly painful to me. There were many assurances that Nathaniel and Ayn's relationship would do damage to neither marriage. I don't know how I bought that. I don't know how Frank did, but we did.
Nathaniel separated from Barbara and, unknown to Ayn Rand, began an affair with another woman.
And that blew our whole lecture organization and, in many ways, our whole lives sky high.
Ayn Rand permanently severed her relationship with the Brandons, who fled to the West Coast.
She felt totally betrayed by Nathaniel and could not understand it. And it was very confusing, very upsetting. She was bitter, angry, hurt.
Barbara Brandon says Ayn Rand, who died in 1982, wanted to be viewed as a goddess.
I and the other people around her certainly presented her to the world as something like a goddess. It wasn't fair to anybody. She was a human being. She had great virtues, and when she made mistakes, they were big ones.
Ayn Rand was a forceful presence in her lifetime. If she was not totally successful as a novelist or as a philosopher, she at least gave us much to think about. Barbara Brandon is the author of The Passion of Ayn Rand, now an Anchor Doubleday paperback. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.